This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And good morning. Good morning. It is it's about 8 o'clock, 4 minutes after or so. And it is Friday, February 1st. You are listening to KBOO, your community radio station in Greater Cascadia. Cascadia is pretty great. And I'm Ani. I'm your host this week for Positively Revolting, the talk show that you are listening to right now. Lynn is not able to join me this week, my usual partner in crime. She is off taking care of some family emergency stuff. So we wish Lynn well, and we welcome to the airwaves Sarah Sneath. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning.
Sarah has been our intern extraordinaire for like 2 weeks now, and I'm so thrilled that Sarah has picked Positively Revolting as one of her choices to intern with. And now she is jumping into the co-hosting seat. So very quickly, thank you. And, I'm just happy. I'm happy Sarah can join us this morning. And also joining us this morning is our guest, Kim Schmucker, who serves on the board of directors of In Other Words. In Other Words is a feminist community center and bookstore in North Portland. They're presenting Real Feminism, a feminist film series that's in partnership with the Clinton Street Theater. The series screens on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 7 o'clock at the Clinton Street, so you can get a lot more information about that by the end of this hour and check that out. We're going to talk first. I want to start the discussion a little bit further back than we have a feminist film series and a feminist bookstore and a community center. I want to talk about the F word itself. I want to talk about what feminism is. I want to talk about our current attitudes around feminism and what's going on in how we think of egalitarianism, how we think of equality, how we think of women's rights, how we think of women, actually, in our society. So, in the last couple of weeks or so, I've been involved with, or at least aware of, a few conversations that have caused me to slam my head into a table. For example, I've heard somebody say, yeah, I'm all for women's rights and everything, but feminism just takes it too far. I'm not sure how to interpret that, really. There's the other thing that I've heard sort of around the edges, maybe paraphrased. Actually, at least once I've heard it said outright, feminism is about hating men, and that's just as messed up as what it's fighting against. Okay, feminism is reverse discrimination. I've seen this sentiment as well. And all of these things make me, well, first, you know, the first thing that it makes me do is like check my calendar to reassure myself that it's still 2013. Because near as I could figure, we've gotten way past that 30 years ago when I was in college. Okay, 20 years ago when I was in college. I had thought we'd gotten past that 30 years ago when I was in high school. And yet, what I'm noticing is that we have been sliding backwards. We've been scrambling backwards. We have been straight down the rabbit hole of culturally understanding where it's at and what feminism is and what egalitarianism is. And that concerns me. So thought we'd check in. This is, I have to say, we've gotten a lot of feedback in the last few weeks since we have been looking at issues, different various parts of women's rights, what it is to be a woman. We've looked at rape culture recently. We've looked at abortion rights and access recently. We'll be looking at it again next week as well, because this is a pervasive issue and it's really striking a chord. There are a lot of people that feel the need to talk about it, to dialogue about it, and to declare that, in fact, we're here, we are demanding our rights, and we're not so interested in this sliding backwards into time to some mythic father knows best sort of world that didn't really exist in the first place, right? That was all just sort of iconic myth. That's what I'm, that's my premise this morning. So checking in on that idea of where we're at living in this world, what have we achieved in order for women to fully participate throughout our society? Where are we now? Well, in a quick and very superficial glance, turns out last year, for every dollar a man earned, a woman earns 77 cents. I will say that that is a stride forward from when I was in high school and beginning to organize. In 1982, I believe it was more like 61 cents. So, hey, we've gained 16 cents over 30 years. We're still not there, right? We're still just about a quarter off of what men make. But, hey, nothing's stopping us. We can get any job we want. I mean, heck, Hillary Clinton. Which is always the answer I hear when people say, but about women's rights. Well, come on, you could be president or something. Look at Hillary Clinton. That's not a meaningful statement for women who are still earning about a quarter less than what men earn. We talked about rape culture. Well, it's true. In this society, a woman, in this country, a woman is raped about every minute. And I think that we often think of, well, this country, you know, we have come right ahead, but we have to look at our sisters in those other backwards countries where women are not respected. In this country, a woman is raped every minute. Check that. In the last couple of years, there have been record-breaking legislation sessions around the country, just record numbers of state legislators setting restrictions or attempting to set restrictions on accessing abortion. Not all of these bills passed, like several bills for forced ultrasounds were not passed, but were introduced and debated vigorously. Some states did actually pass that. One that I find particularly egregious was that the Oklahoma Senate last year requires now that women be invited, at least, to hear the fetus's heartbeat before a pregnancy is terminated. Then there's the continuing and ever-present issues of slut-shaming All while hypersexualized and commodified images of women are the foundations of pop culture and marketing across the board, and on it goes. So what's feminism? Feminism is a philosophy, is a movement, is a way of life that fights all of that and so much more. And that's where I want to start our discussion this morning. So good morning, Kim. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Good morning. We do have two callers on the line. I don't know if you want to take one of those now.
Go ahead and let's go ahead with that first question of what is feminism to you? And then we'll jump into the call.
Okay. So we had a little discussion before we started being on radio about this topic. And I think we each had an analogy, which I think you used a couple of examples earlier about the kind of moments that we've been in where we're like, oh, is this feminism? And is this what people think feminism is? And personally, my example is that I am a journalism and sociology major, and I've taken some upper level sociology classes where when who considers himself a feminism is asked, I'm the only person to raise her hand, which I just think it's ridiculous because, you know, as I said, as a sociology major, you learn about all kinds of inequality. That's basically what the major is. It could be called an inequality major. And so know that, and to know that inequality continues to persist. These aren't the type of people you wouldn't think that need to be told, you know, that it does. That's what they're studying. And yet they don't think that feminism is necessary, or they think they still have this extremist ideas of what feminism looks like. It is a bit silly that feminism is an F word, and it makes you think a little bit deeper into why feminism might be considered an F word, and it makes you think that there's a reason why some people don't want you to have equality. And that's really when you think that something like this, when you think that something like feminism is radical, you have to think that equality is radical. That's really the message behind that.
Kim, over to you. Same question.
Well, so for me, I think feminism is about recognizing and overcoming oppression in whatever form that's in. So it's really about recognizing the ideas that you have in your own head that might be holding other people or yourself back, and questioning those, holding those out apart from yourself and saying, wait, you know, is that really something that I'm thinking? Is that really something that society is telling me? Is where did that idea come from? And do I agree with it or not? And if I don't agree with it, then it's a matter of thinking, well, how do I change that? And in essence, that's really what I feel like feminism is. And there's lots of different shades of that, lots of different colors. Mm-hmm. And depending on your demographic circumstances and your socioeconomic background and all of that, geographically where you're located, it's going to take a different flavor. But that's kind of the essence of it for me.
Agreed. You know, I think feminism is all that and oh so much more that we will start unpacking. You know, we haven't actually even given the number out yet, and yet the bases are loaded. I love that. So if you would like to connect with Positively Revolting this morning, you can go ahead and give us a call here to the studio at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com, and or you can like us on Facebook. In fact, please like us on Facebook, where you can find us. We're Positively Revolting there too. And you can comment on our Facebook page. All of these ways you can get a hold of us and communicate, and we can get your ideas out there to the air and continue the conversation throughout the week. So please do connect in now, like Spring. Good morning, Spring. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ani. Just a reminder, I am a good friend of Michelle Markowitz of Funky Boutique, founder and fame. So I want to cut to the quick without any more intellectualizing, and I'll get right off the air. It's a bumper sticker, but really says so much. Feminism is the radical notion that women are people.
Yes. You know, it's
Thank
funny.
You. I'll get off the air now.
Well, and thanks for mentioning Markowitz. It's always nice
you
to hear
bet.
Markowitz.
Love her dearly.
Yeah, she's a good one. All right,
Ciao,
cheers.
Bella.
for longtime listeners to Cable, you may remember that show before Markowitz moved to the East Coast, where she does it. Some lucky community station back east gets the Funky Boutique now, but we don't. Anyways, you know, another bumper sticker came to mind this morning, Living Life by Bumper Stickers. I'll be post-feminist in a post-patriarchal world, you know, that... I think that both of these sort of sticker ideologies gets to the point that we aren't really asking for all that much, and yet what we're asking for radically changes the world like that. It is the idea, and Sarah, thank you so much for saying it, that, you know, feminism must be sort of put down. We have to not pay attention to it, because to actually look at what egalitarianism means is the end of patriarchy, is the end of capitalism, is a radical shift in our structure, in how we live together and how we create society. It changes everything. And yet it's so simple.
Exactly. Yeah. And we talked a little bit today, too, about stereotypes of feminists, and I think that Kim should talk a little bit about her experiences at Another Words, which, for those of you who don't know, has been parodied on Portlandia as the feminist bookstore. So do you want to talk about a little bit about that?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of funny to be working it, in Other Words, every once in a while. I have like a weekly shift there. And watch the people who kind of come by and are afraid to go in, but like stand outside and take their picture because we're on the Portlandia tour. I think it's pretty fun. I mean, I like that they go in there and you know, sometimes they do actually make it in the door. But I think that there is kind of a stereotyped image of what a feminist is. And it's a very, I think, radicalized image and something that I think somehow intimidates people. And it's kind of funny because that's not the image of most of the people who go into, in Other Words. I mean, there's all types of people there, and you know, we have the full spectrum there. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting to think about how the word feminist and the word lesbian get equated, also, which I think is just really fascinating in my head. And it
well, it goes along with the idea that feminists are in fact man-hating, because you know, a straight woman couldn't be man-hating, right? And feminists are, therefore, and again, it's that kind of really, I thought that we had overcome the stereotype when I was in college, which would have been the late 80s, early 90s. I thought that we had, you know, but obviously I just moved into some sort of bubble world in Southeast Portland. That's what actually happened. And we obviously have not overcome any of that malarkey, let's just say. You know, the stereotypes of, but feminists aren't attractive. Feminists have no sense of humor. Feminists are, you know, militant women wearing combat boots that only want to take away men's rights. All of these stereotypes are still so prevalent. And you could just knock me over with a feather when I actually hear them parroted back to me, especially by younger people who, you know, I'm like, where on earth did you get that? Oh, pop culture, mainstream culture, you know, basically the mainstream news media have shifted so dramatically to the right over the last 20 years. You know, so Fox, you know, basic pundits saying Fox and news in the same sentence is kind of a stretch, you know, but still you have these pundits that are known, that are out there, who are saying exactly, you know, those outrageous stereotypes, and are just putting them out there as fact. And whereas, you know, somebody who's in high school or in their early 20s today may not actually tune in and listen to them directly, as pundits, they have a huge influence on just what gets picked up and what is buzz and what is said, you know, in our culture. It's the public dialogue. So how do we shift that dialogue to actually reflect our realities away from this, you know, funhouse mirror sort of look at feminism?
I would say people should come down to Another Words and check it out.
There you go.
Make your own decision about what, you know, you think once you actually meet a few feminists and see how we are.
Yeah, I think, too, this kind of brings me to the thought, too, of, like, what an activist is anyways, because I think oftentimes the reason why a person considers himself or herself an activist is because they have felt a need to be active. And it seems really silly, but I went to a speech by Lily Ledbetter, and she's the person behind Equal Pay, and she is not what anyone would, like, by looking at her and hearing her accent, you probably wouldn't think that she considers herself a feminist. She's very Southern, and she looks very Southern, and, you know, very proper, and that's like, the anti-feminist image, I think, that we would pop culture would associate with feminism. And yet, one day at her work, she felt she came across this need to get equal pay. And that was, and at that moment, she took she became active, and she mm-hmm. took action. And that's why she's a feminist. And so that's why I really don't understand why all women don't consider themselves activists or feminists, because it seems like every day, if you live in a patriarchy, there are probably moments when you find yourself needing to fight for your own equality. And at that moment, even if it's just, a little snarky comment at the water cooler, you become a feminist, you know. And it's not to say that every single time, every single day, you have to make the right decision, or if you're not feeling like saying something, or if you sometimes feel pressured to dress a certain way, I don't think that that's like a bad thing either. And I feel, I have one of my roommates is a women's studies major, and she made a comment the other day about her appearance, and she was like, "Oh, Sarah, I know you're going to hate this, but I like to wear this outfit because it looks better on me." And I was like, no, I don't think that that's bad at all. Every person has, faces these issues.
Right.
And there's no right or wrong, solution. It's all about, what makes you feel comfortable. But it's understanding, too, what has made you feel uncomfortable, or why we feel uncomfortable.
That's a really good point. Let's go ahead and talk to Leslie, who's on the line. Good morning, Leslie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to start with what feminism isn't, and it's not the ironic, self-mocking use of the terms bitch and slut when women call each other bitch. That's supposed to be some kind of postmodern feminist gesture, and I think it's pretty grotesque. And I think part of the reason why a lot of women... I think, first of all, feminism on the ground almost looks like it's dead. A lot of reason why women reject feminism is because, frankly, most women are not that kind to each other. And I think one book that really has influenced on me on that is, I think the writer, her name is Phyllis Chesler, and the book is called Woman's Inhumanity to Woman. And I think an excellent example of that is this, and how we have failed the younger generation, and how clueless the younger generation seems to be, is the Steubenville, Ohio case. How could a girl be carried from party to party in a virtual coma, gang raped? You think there were no other women at this party? And none of them stepped forward and said, hey, let's take her. Let's take her home. Get your hands off her. What are you doing to her? No one said that. No one stepped forward. They just silently sucked on their Heinekens and watch this girl being dragged around like a thing and being gang raped.
Mm-hmm.
That's my comment.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. So looking at, going off of that direction, looking at how we actually create solidarity and empathy between women. I mean, women working together is an amazing thing. And yet, again, socialized, we are taught to be in deep competition with each other. We are taught not to trust each other. We get the same misogynist messages that, men pick up, right? And then we have to internalize it because, well, we're one of those women. And it really, it messes with us. Like the psychology of the oppressed. Check out any marginalized community. And that is a very, that self-hate, that internalized hatred, and how that prohibits true acts of solidarity so often is something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed front on. So I thank Leslie for bringing that up this morning. Any comments?
Yeah, I think, oh, sorry, but I think there are some references definitely to what she was talking about in popular culture. Lupe Fiasco, he's a rapper, and he just, I guess not, it's not too recent, but semi-recently came out with a song that basically speaks on behalf of exactly what she's talking about. And I think that I am very happy to say that there are definitely pop, while there are there are a lot of like pop culture things that re-emphasize the bad images or of feminism, of women as objects, there are also some great anti-stereotype things out there, and that also help us like take a closer look at what are we meaning when we say certain words, and you know, what does that word mean to a woman, and what does that word mean to a man, and exactly what you said, like I think any culture that's been oppressed, they live in that any society that's been oppressed or any group of people who've been oppressed, they live under oppression and they internalize it and they start to think that they are lesser than, and they look at other women as lesser than, or they look at other minorities as lesser than. And so in the way that we speak to each other, definitely think that that can be an issue.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that also, if you just look at pop culture, like look at TV shows, look at movies out there and watch how women are portrayed in those and how they interact with each other in those types of movies and shows, mm-hmm. That's where people kind of, they just absorb that. Like they don't even notice that they're doing it, but they absorb it and kind of notice like they're patterning their behavior off of these, you know, templates that have been provided for us. And you actually have to like, first of all, recognize that you're doing that. Like take an active responsibility in recognizing your own behavior and say, wait, wow, why am I doing that? And kind of examine it and say, well, I don't want to do that anymore, you know, and you have to like actively step out. But that takes an amount of effort that I think, first of all, you have to want to do it, you know, and you have to notice that it's happening. You have to want to make the difference. You have to then actively do it. And actively doing things differently takes so much more energy than doing things the same way that you've always done them or the way that society wants you to behave. Because as soon as you start to do things against the grain, you get the backlash on that.
Right. But it is, in fact, the basis of living consciously, right?
Absolutely.
it takes a hell of a lot of energy, and it's so worth it. I want to remind folks, you are listening to Positively Revolting here on KABU, your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Sarah this morning as my co-host, and Kim Schmucker is our guest. She is on the board of directors of, in other words, a feminist community center and bookstore there in North Portland. So we are discussing feminism and about to discuss the Real Feminism feminist film series that is going on, a co-presentation of, in other words, and Clinton Street Theater, that is happening the fourth Wednesday of every month. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Want to remind you that you can, in fact, keep track of conversations and keep in touch with us throughout the week on Facebook, where you can like us at Positively Revolting. You can also get in touch with us by email. You can write to us positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can also call the studio this morning. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Just like Joe is doing. Good morning, Joe. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ani. I would like to bring in a perspective that I don't think has quite been touched upon. One of your co-hosts started out saying feminism is essentially kind of anti-oppression work, or bringing an anti-oppression perspective to your life. And for me, as a radio producer on a socialist feminist show, the Old Mole Variety Hour, I think that feminism is perhaps one of the most important things to happen to the very broadly understood socialist movement that has been going on for the last 150 years. And I think that is because feminists, especially in the 20th century, brought a perspective on reproductive work, on unpaid labor, on the hidden abode of actual life that most women are the workers in, that had been lacking in the very male-centered, very chauvinistic socialist movements that we typically remember from the early 20th century, and that by the 60s and 70s, socialist feminists were starting to open up questions that I think Marx and Engels and their followers closed pretty quickly, because the status of women in the economy was assumed to be in the home, and that the home was not the place where anything real happened, and that feminism has always, for me, kind of meant a, and in the same way that your co-host said, in bringing an anti-oppression perspective to everything in your life, that it's about bringing a perspective on what's vital in life, and women being just biologically, typically anyway, the source of human life, that their plight is the plight of all of us, and their plight is the plight of the earth. Yesterday, on the evening news, there was this very well-spoken young woman speaking on behalf of, or not on behalf, but it was coverage of the Idle No More movement, and she was talking about how she doesn't conceive of herself as an ecologist, but that when we live in this world, there is no avoiding the fact that we are in defense of it, and I think the same goes for women and feminism.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And let's take a moment now, actually, and shift into some specifics about what's going on with the film festival and how what is going on with that film festival. I want to also talk about In Other Words, but we let's do that secondarily. Let's get info about the film festival out there.
Okay. Well, so In Other Words is hosting, in partnership with Clinton Street Theater, A Real Feminism, which is a film series that takes place on the fourth Wednesday of each month. So we have tried to more or less align our films with the National Heritage Months, or major events that are taking place in that month. So last month we had a Lunar New Year event that was actually watching Anna May Wong in her own words, and then watching one of her movies that kind of propelled her into stardom back in the day. And that was a really, really great event. Coming up this month, in honor of Black History Month, we have Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which is directed by Laura Lipson. And it's a really amazing documentary about women in the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. So I'm really interested to watch that one. I think it'll be really fun. March, we will celebrate Women's History Month with a film called I Was a Teenage Feminist, which is kind of an introspective look at everything we've been talking about here today, saying, you know, well, hey, I was a feminist back in the 70s, but what's now? Like, why do I not feel this way anymore? You know, why did I lose touch with that? Why don't people around me seem to be in touch with it anymore? So it's exploring kind of all of those. excuse me. In April, we are going to partner with the Portland Women's Crisis Line and bring a film about sexual assault awareness, which we haven't determined yet, but we'll get that. And then May, we will be celebrating International Workers' Day by watching The Learning, which is a PBS documentary about Filipino women who come to the United States to actually teach in school, which looks really interesting also. That was directed by Ramona Diaz. And then in June, we're going to celebrate Pride Month with a really fun movie that you might be aware of, which is called But I'm a Cheerleader.
I love that film. Okay.
So that's probably a lot of content. But
why did you decide to do a film series?
You know, we thought it would be a fun way to kind of get the word of feminism out there and have it be a fundraiser for In Other Words and, you know, kind of show off Clinton Street Theater at the same time. I think all of the above.
Sort of a win-win-win.
Yeah.
How did you choose those films?
So we actually had a lot of help from Lonnie Jo Lee at the Clinton Street Theater to pick which films we did. Kim Meinert, who is another board member, kind of came up with the themes of the month, and we all liked it. And then through discussion and just kind of poking around the internet, we're like, oh, this one looks really good. We should watch that one.
Excellent. What other things does In Other Words do? You're a community center. You're a feminist community center at that. What does a feminist community center do?
So we have lots of community events that go on. We've got book groups. We've got writing groups. We've got special events coming up. Like, for example, there will be an art auction on March 5th. That's also a fundraiser for us. We've got Body Heat, a femme porn tour that's happening on February 10th.
A fun porn tour, you
femme,
say?
Femme.
Femme. It's like, what, could you, okay.
All porn tours are fun.
Well, some. So
things okay. like that. We've got things like that things going like on. That. We have lots of discussion groups that go on there. We've got the bookstore. We've got the lending library. Got a lot of zines there that you can check out or look at. Yeah, a lot of things.
And you've got a site online if people want more information that has a calendar that posts all manner of events that y'all do.
Absolutely. It's inotherwords.org. So that's pretty good.
You can also find a link to them from our page at Positively Revolting on KBOO's website, kboo.fm/positively revolting. This particular show links to your site because, you know.
Yeah, we're also on Facebook.
We're like that.
So if you want to look us up there, and we have our events posted on Facebook all the time also. Mm.
Excellent.
So we've got more if you want to talk about it, but it seems like it's a pretty big chunk so far.
We can talk about it more. I do want to get this comment in from a listener who decided to Facebook us, who also has laryngitis and is sick this morning. So get well, Phil. Get well. Phil is another volunteer here at KBOO Community Radio. Every now and again, we get to hear his musical tastes. But he writes this morning, "Feminism is the radical notion that all people are equal. This is very scary to the folks who sit in privilege, and so they've taken a lot of energy and money to spin that notion to feminists hate men, etc. I can't think of a single woman I know who doesn't want the same pay for the same work as a man, but many of them balk at the notion of calling themselves feminists because of the rebranding that has been done by certain media folks. I really appreciate the comment from the woman who is studying sociology that her classmates recognize oppression but don't take up the mantle of feminist. Privilege is a tough thing for us all to face. The essay of Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack by Peggy McIntosh speaks to a lot of this. This is not about liberal guilt. This is an essay that really speaks to the core of inequality." And he suggests an essay with a very, very long URL. So, instead of reading the URL, allow me to say facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can find that link in the recent posts by others from Phil there. It's an essay called White Privilege. I would totally recommend Peggy McIntosh's Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. That is some great stuff. All right. Thanks very much for that. We are looking at about 20 minutes left of being with each other this morning on Positively Revolting. We have Brad on the line. Let's go ahead and get to Brad now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join us. We do have one line open, so if you'd like to join us on the air, this is your moment to do so. And good morning, Brad. You are on the air. Hey, Brad. Okay, we're going to try Brad again in just a moment. Brad perhaps has wandered off, but let's go ahead and talk to Logan now. Good morning, Logan. You're on the air.
Hello?
Good morning, Logan. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Logan. This is your moment.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, but sadly it seems you cannot hear us.
Oh, this is Brad. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, Brad, there you are.
Yeah, this is Brad. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
Fantastic. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm a feminist, and I like women, and I'm definitely not a lesbian. Put that into perspective.
Rock on completely.
And what it means to me is a vigilant and active awareness of fairness, and to promote fairness in society around me, just on the ground around me. And also just to be absolutely vigilant and totally intolerant against violence against women.
Thank you. Yeah, right.
And that's what it means to me. So, and I just want to get that out there.
Thank you so much for your call this morning, Brad. I'm really glad that you made it through.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think that Brad makes a very good point also. When you walk into Inotherwords, you'll see really huge letters like right there saying feminism is for everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I really think that that's true in so many different levels. I mean, feminism... not only being sort of like for everybody in kind of a figurative sense. It really is some place where everybody can find a home, and it works to help everybody and find equality for everybody. So it's, I think men are an important part of that as well.
Huge, actually. So where do we go with this? Let me go with a couple of announcements. First of all, 1 Billion Rising is happening. It is a global call out to everyone, really, to stand up against violence against women. It's been slated for Valentine's Day, February 14th. This was started out as the brainchild of Eve Ensler. And there is a Portland contingency that I will say is gathering at Director's Park. That's at Southwest Park, and I'm going to say it's right around Salmon-ish, Taylor-ish, perhaps, for a rally and a dance and a march. The march will lead to the Python building at Park and Yamhill for food, dancing, speakers, workshops, and tables. Hosted by groups who are working to end violence. They want everyone there, everyone, all ages, all abilities, every person counts, all are welcome, dress for the weather, gather with friends, and that is on Thursday, February 14th at 3 p.m. What is it? Strike, Dance, Rise, 1 Billion Rising PDX is part of the global call to action to end violence against women and girls, coming together, taking a stand in solidarity. So there's a lot more to be found. You can find some on the internet. Check out 1 Billion Rising and look for Portland actions, particularly because it is a global happening. So that's one thing that is going on. I can also say before that time, on Saturday, February 9th, there is an action that is a Women's Take Back the Night walk patrol. Not so much a march as actually hitting the streets in a visible way, saying whose streets? Women's streets. That we need to feel safe wherever we are, doing whatever we're doing. And that is happening starting around 9 p.m. Gathering place, not quite announced at this time. For more information, contact me, actually. I think that would probably be the easiest thing to do. or there is a Facebook page. Yes, that's it. Contact the Facebook page. That is just search Take Back the Night Portland. It is the event for Portland, February 9th, and you can hook into that event there. Right. So those are a couple of things coming right up that you can be a part of. Want to remind folks, you are listening to Positively Revolting. I'm Ani. I'm here with Sarah. And our guest this morning is Kim Schmucker from, in other words, Community Center and Bookstore. And let's go ahead and take Logan next. Good morning, Logan. You're on the line.
Oh, good morning. First, I'd like to say thank you for the show. I've only heard it a couple times, but I think it's really valuable, so I really appreciate that. And I wanted to make two comments. This is a huge topic, of course. but two things. A couple callers ago, someone mentioned briefly the biology of women, and that just made me think of two things. One, that oppression really is, fundamentally is about fear, and women are extraordinarily powerful in communities, not only biologically because we have the unique ability to create life, but as sort of the fabric of communities, and because we have families and we create connections and relationships, and we're extraordinarily powerful. And I just wanted to bring that up, that I think that that's a big part of oppression. And I think that women in our society have internalized that. And I'm a mother of two children. And I think that, you know, the way that we care for our children, just fundamentally, you know, nursing, that we don't do that as long as we should. And there's a trend to nurse children more, longer. But, you know, we just, I feel like we have internalized sort of this powerlessness, and I think it's really important that we as women embrace our power, which can be scary, and I think that that's a way we can affect change in our society. So
all right.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
Logan, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Thank you.
And 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to join us on the air. We have just over 10 minutes left, and you can do that right now. You can also, just to remind folks, like us on our Facebook page. A couple folks have done that this morning, so it's wonderful to keep expanding forward and getting more people into the conversation throughout the week. Always appreciated. You can also, and you can find us on Facebook where we are Positively Revolting. You can also email us anytime you'd like, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. Coming up this morning on KABU, we have Sarah. What's coming up this morning on KABU?
At 9, APA Compass features the Race Monologues with six Lewis and Clark students, Camille Christie, Raymond Fenton, Jasmine Grays, David Jenkins, Guadalupe Triana, and Tony Zamora. Also, comedian Baratund Thurston discusses technology, race, and politics. And Arizona State professor Marilyn Lim talks about how minority voices use social media to organize. At 10 on Flashpoints, Greg Pallast makes the case that Aaron Swartz died for Piers Morgan's sins. Also, more revelations on the independent investigation into Canadian church and government participation in genocide of Indigenous children, and a look at Iranian revolutionary art. At 11 on It Takes a Village host, Shahid Hamid speaks with Will Bennett, community practitioner, futurist, and historian at large, about Black History Month, the Golden West Hotel Project, and how the project relates to Portland's Black history. At 11:30, the guests are author Sari Carey Levy and legend painter and illustrator Ralph Steadman. They'll discuss their project, Extinct Boyds. Thank you, listeners, and thanks, KABU members, for our ongoing support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to KABU FM and clicking on Donate Today.
All right, so let's see here. Where are we at? We have Chad on the line. Good morning, Chad. You are on the air. Good morning, Chad. Let's try one more time. Good morning, Chad. That's you. That's you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think it should be pointed out that feminism is in the best interest of men as well as women, and that there's a lot men can do to contribute to a broad cultural understanding of that. And I have contributed myself. In fact, about 15 years ago, I was actually commissioned to write a media review for the, in other words, newsletter. And did that. It was a, you know, how do you say, an honorary commission, right? There was no payment, but it was requested in with, respectfully requested and respectfully delivered, and it was a joy doing it. So everyone can contribute, and that's what I'd like to share.
All right. Thanks very much for your call this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to go back just really briefly to something that Logan brought up about kind of banding together and finding those common interests and people who can kind of move with you.
Yes.
And I think that that's something that, in other words, is really good for, because you can go there and you can meet people who are like-minded, who have experienced similar or the same challenges as you, or completely different challenges that are kind of analogous, or, you know, just finding those people who can then take action together and move forward together. So I think that that's really important. And thank you, Logan, for sparking that thought.
Yeah, and I think that also is a good point, too, because I was looking at your website earlier today, and I saw that it said that there in 1993 there were over 200 feminist bookstores in the United States, and today there are fewer than 30. So It just goes to show that there has been some move toward maybe less feminist literature out there, and maybe less positive access to what it means to be a feminist.
Well, and I think also it could be in some ways kind of an effect of how far we've come. People are not quite as uncomfortable as they were in the past. They're not quite, they don't have as many, I think, firsthand experiences that radicalize them into saying, yes, you know what, I am a feminist. So in some ways, it could be sort of a good thing, but we're not done yet. And I think that's something that we need to stress, is that just because things are better does not mean that we're equal yet, does not mean that people perceive women as equal, does not mean that there's no issues that we need to band together and find solutions for together. So, yeah.
I would put out there that, you know, incrementally better, sure. After all, we do make 16 cents more on the dollar now than we did when I was in high school. So, you know, but you're so right when you say we're not there yet. And really, when it comes right down to it, to me, harping back to what Chad just said, you know, feminism does benefit everyone. It is, in fact, I mean, to me, the whole gender role socialization, gender normative behaviors, that which locks women into behaving like good ladies and men into behaving like, you know, independent, strong-minded, you know, rugged individualist men. You know, these are traps for us all. Feminism really is around the idea that that is a bunch of hooey, and that we actually need to be free to live our heart's desires, to be ourselves, to be people outside of what gender role normative behavior might be defined as this decade, because that shifts. And then, you know, where does that leave us, right? I think it's very important to point out that men are trapped within the patriarchy as well. Sure, they have the privilege edge of the trap, but it's still a trap, and it's still hurtful. You know, for I've seen with my very own eyes little kids who are apparently of the male gender sort of get, you know, sort of get a little slapped around with the, you know, don't you be crying, you're a boy, you know, buck up sort of thing. That's not okay, right? That is just beyond not okay. And that it still happens kills me. So this is really for us all. It's also, I personally have to say, I'd love to see the idea of binary gender just, you know, go to the wayside. It can be like elevator operators and carts and buggies. It is an outmoded way of thinking of ourselves and our relationships with self and other. That's what I think.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right.
Wholeheartedly agree with that.
Throw that in there. And we do have a couple more people that we can squeeze in here in the last 6 minutes of the show. Good morning, Brian. You are on the air.
Hey, good morning. And I really appreciate this conversation. I do have to bring up, and I'd like to reiterate a point you guys make, is this, I'm in my 50s. This is a very old conversation. And, I mean, you know, it's very valid. Unfortunately, it's valid in our society because we have, you know, just done everything not to acknowledge the reality that women are equal. And you know, I always point this out to KBOO, that in other countries, it's just the norm now. It's taught in school. It's, you know, I mean, you know, in your northern European countries, it's like, okay, this argument is over, pretty much. I mean, you know, there's some fine points that have to be made. Another thing, I think that all women and feministic men should be definitely upset about, I am, that women are now going to be considered equal in the military. And, you know, I don't think that was ever the objective of feminism, is to go out and, you know, take a large segment of the population and allow them to kill everybody that they can and make decisions to kill everybody they can. That's a very upsetting thing. And I think if we investigate it, it's another form of this patriarchal oppression that we're suffering. And, you know, it's an argument in itself.
All right.
But, you know, hey, I really hope someday, you know, the people up top, you know, I mean, we need to remove them. We need to put people in there who want a progressive society. And I think that's probably the first step to getting it, you know, not allowing everybody to be equal to go kill.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Have a great day.
I would have to say that in order to have a truly progressive society, we replace the people at the top with not having a top anymore, because I think that hierarchy is really kind of anti-progressive in and of itself.
Yeah, and I just also wanted to add that I think we've said a lot about women being equal and women being people, but I think that feminism, and in other words, also take that one step further, where everybody mm-hmm. are people. Like, it doesn't matter
people
what your
is
body
people.
Is. It doesn't
yeah.
matter what gender you identify with. Like, people are people are people. And I think that it's important to remember that feminism is broader than just women.
I think that that's very important. I know there. So we only got 4 minutes left. Probably not the time to really get into women are now able to enter into combat positions in the military. There will be shows coming up in the future. I know International Women's Day is looking at something along those lines, thanks to Sarah, who is, sitting to my left and brilliant. So International Women's Day, by the way, is coming up on March 8th. We'll look more into that. For myself, as a queer, as a woman, so I can serve in the military now. I have achieved. I'm also anti-imperialist and think the military should be abolished, period. Am I glad that queers and women can now fight in it in equal footing? I don't even know what to say about that. I think the military should be abolished, period. So, that's a topic for a whole nother day. Let's squeeze in very, very quickly. Let's squeeze in Bob.
Hey, sisters. I want to thank you very much for the show. And since the time is short, I'll just be real quick. One of my favorite heroes is Ida B. Wells, a black woman who fought against lynching and the rights for black folks and black women in the 1800s and early 1900s. So I wanted to make a book recommendation and just say for myself as a white guy and a union member, I've always found that the union movement for me is a place for myself and for women to fight for the rights of each other. And I can fight for women's rights within my union. And I wanted to say as a point on that, as a Teamster member, years ago in 1992, we elected Ron Kerry, who was a reformer in the Teamsters Union, Teamsters for a Democratic Union. We elected a whole slate which had the first Teamster woman president in the history of the freaking union, which was bizarre because it started in 1903. And we had a lot of people of color that were on the e-board slate. So for me, in my life as a worker, I found the union movement is a way where I can bond with my women sisters and we can both fight for equality. And as you said, sister, March 8th is International Women's Day. Thanks for the show. See you later.
All right. Thanks very much.
Before we run out of time, I just wanted to maybe mention a couple other events that are coming
up. Please
do. So at In Other Words, we have a Come As You Are body sex film screening and discussion on February 15th. On February 12th, we've got the Happy Hysteria Health Collective coming up, and I believe they're talking about recovering from abortion and miscarriage. So it's very important for women's bodies. April, we'll have Dirty Queer back, which will be very fun. And then also Clinton Street Theater, our wonderful partner in our film series, has a couple of events that are coming up that people might be interested in, including tonight. They start a run of The Birth Story, Ina May Gaskin and the Farm Midwives, which looks amazing. So that's tonight. And then I think for a week. And then there's Things We Don't Talk About, Stories from the Red Tent, happening on February 23rd. And their website is CSTPDX.com if you're interested in hearing more about what they do. So I just wanted to throw those in there really quickly.
And very quickly you did. And we are out of time. Tune in again next week when we will be talking with local organizer for 1 Billion Rising and talking about violence against women, rape culture, and the move to stop it. Smashing the patriarchy one day at a time. That's us here at Positively Revolting. Please do keep in touch. Like us on Facebook. Email us, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. You can be in touch by however you'd like to. Keep listening to KABU, and we'll see you next week.
The time is 9 a.m., and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Radio is a proud media sponsor of Winterfolk, Portland's largest annual folk music event, and a benefit for Sisters of the Road. Winterfolk will celebrate their 25th anniversary on February 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee, and features Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary, The Rite of Spring, Beth Wood, Sky in the Road, and many more. Again, that's Winterfolk, Saturday, February 2nd at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, a benefit for Sisters of the Road. More information can be found at kboo.fm/winterfolk2013. You're listening to APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American radio program. On today's show, you'll hear comedian Bartenda Thurston discuss technology, race, and politics, and Arizona State Professor Melina Lim on how minority voices are using social media to organize. First up, we'll hear the race monologues of six Lewis and Clark students, Camille Christie, Raymond Fenton, Jasmine Grays, David Jenkins, Guadalupe Triana, and Tony Zamora.
My name is Andrew Ye, and thank you for listening to APA Compass. Every year, students at Lewis and Clark College in Portland organize the Ray Warren Multicultural Symposium. The highlight is the standing room only live performance of the race monologues, during which students share their personal experiences with race, ethnicity, and identity. Six students share their monologues with us on today's show. We start with Guadalupe Triana. And Tony Zamora.
Tony Zamora.
Who provide loving tributes to their parents and grandparents for working so hard to provide opportunities for their children.
It was not until recently that I began feeling the sting of being labeled a minority in current society. It also was not too long ago when I realized that the term comes accompanied with a negative connotation. However, the last thing I want for someone to feel when I talk about who I am is pity.